Good morning.
Good morning.
Luke chapter 18, we're considering what we're told in the verses 10 to 14. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee. The Lord takes note of those who gather in his house to worship him. He takes note not so much how they're dressed, but rather what their heart is like. What is your heart like today? Is your heart obedient to the Lord and submissive to him? That's the big question. We're considering these two men, having a close look at them, and seeing what the Bible has to say about them. And we've been spending some time considering the first of these men, the Pharisee. And we're going to continue our examination of this man, for the Bible, the New Testament, the Gospels, though not only the Gospels, have a lot to say about the Pharisee. And someone that the Lord has a lot to say about is worthy of our consideration. If the Lord has a lot to say about them, there's something we should note in what the Lord has to say about them. It's worth considering his comments. Now, we have been considering the links that the Pharisees have had with the Savior. It's wonderful, you know, in life, how many wicked men have wonderful opportunities to meet the Savior. These were wicked men, but yet they met the Savior. God, in his mercy, presented to them his truth. There are ever so many who will spend eternity in hell, who never really heard the gospel. Never heard the gospel. Their forefathers had turned away from it, and they were now reaping the consequences of that. But in hell, there are many who did hear the gospel. That's something you should consider. You who are hearing the gospel constantly. Not only did they hear the gospel, they talked with, looked upon the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, they had gospel opportunities that were the greatest of all opportunities. And when we talk about the Pharisees, it's very evident from what the New Testament tells us that they were right there in the presence of the Savior. They looked right into his face, heard him speak and explain and expound the gospel, and yet so many of them are lost. They're in hell today, despite the privileges that they had. We have considered something of the Savior's early condemnation of the Pharisee. You might remember, toward the very beginning of his ministry, he said to his disciples, "Except your righteousness is more than the righteousness of the Pharisees, you'll never get to heaven. You'll never get to heaven." Now, the Pharisees would have heard him say that. That must have been more than just a shock. They would have taken that very ill. They would have taken that criticism of themselves very sorely. But the Savior was saying their righteousness was so false that they wouldn't get to heaven. And except anyone who wanted to get to heaven was better in the sight of God than the Pharisee, then they would never get to heaven. What a dreadful thing to have the Savior say that about you. To say that your righteousness will never get you to heaven. That's what he said. Then, boys and girls, he says that to us all. He says that to you this morning. Mommy and daddy and auntie and uncle and friends and neighbors may pat you on the head and say, "Oh, what a good little boy. What a good little girl." And there may be many things about you that are good. I don't know any of you here that don't have good features about you, pleasant features. I look down on you, I see you scampering about the school, and I smile to myself as I think about you. But the good things that makes me smile, not enough to get you to heaven. The things that please mommy and please daddy and uncle and auntie and all the rest of them, they're not enough to get you to heaven. You need the perfect, spotless righteousness of the Lord Jesus to get you to heaven. None of us can ever measure up to that. We can never make ourselves, as it were, garments that will fit us for heaven. We need that garment which the Lord Jesus has prepared by his death, by his resurrection. We need that garment, and we need to put it on us by faith. Well, let's get to what it is we want to look at today. In chapter 15 of Matthew's Gospel, there the Lord Jesus says something about the Pharisees. Chapter 15 of Matthew's Gospel, the verse 1, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees. There's something to be noted there, boys and girls. I marvel at the wonderful mercy of the Lord. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees. He didn't say, get away from me, you rascals. For they were rascals. They had come with twisted hearts. They had come with evil intentions. They had come to try and trip the Savior up. And he knew that. But still, he didn't say, go away, I don't want to see you. How patient the Lord is, how kind he is. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why? They're questioning. Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. Now, we all believe in washing our hands before we eat, but that's not just what these men were thinking of. It wasn't hygiene they were thinking of, but was an elaborate ritual whereby before everybody they would go through this hand-washing business, as it were, putting on display how religious they were. And they noticed that the disciples didn't do this, and they're questioning the Lord. Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, it's always said as a bit of a joke, that an Irishman answers a question with a question. And if that's so, the Irishman must have learned it from the Lord Jesus, because he answers their question with a question. Their question, that is the question asked by these scribes and Pharisees, amounted to a silly question. But the Savior's question was not silly. Listen to what he says. Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your traditions? For God commanded, saying, honour thy father and thy mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, I want you to notice this, the Pharisees and the scribes, they had a set of rules by which they lived, which were in contradiction of God's law. God says, honour your father and mother. But the scribes and the Pharisees said, no, don't worry about that. Here's what you should do. Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honoureth not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Now, not wanting to go into any details regarding this particular rule that the Pharisees had manufactured, though I want you to understand what it is that the Pharisees were saying. The Pharisees were saying, if you have an obligation to mum or dad to support them, help them in some way, you can get round that command of God. You can get round it by saying, oh, instead of giving you this support, I think I'll give it as a gift to God. And thereby, you break the commandment of God. Though you would have met with the approval of the scribes and Pharisees. The important part to pick up here is that the Lord Jesus is saying to these scribes and Pharisees, you're charging us with not keeping one of your laws, an elaborate washing of our hands before we eat. But what I'm saying to you is that while we may not keep your laws, you don't keep God's law. And boys and girls, when it comes to matters of religion, what men say is not really that important. But what is all important is what God says. And you cannot set aside God's law without coming under God's condemnation. And therefore these scribes and these Pharisees who had set aside God's law, and the Savior gives an example of it, and I'm sure he could have given many, 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 many more. But these scribes and Pharisees lived a life, promoted a religious view that was based upon the rejection of God's law. That was what Phariseeism was all about. Replacing God's law with man's notions. That's who we're talking about here. And listen, the world is filled with Pharisees. The main churches in our land have long ago, by and large, I'll not say every single person in those main churches, but generally speaking, virtually everybody in those churches have set aside God's law. And maybe set aside is too gentle a term. They have thrown aside, thrown away God's law, and they have put in its place their own rules. So that most pulpits in the land, instead of teaching what the Lord Jesus said, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Instead of preaching that, they say, no, you don't need to be born again. You only have to keep the rules that our church have drawn up. Aren't you baptized? Don't you take communion at our communion table? Don't you put your hand in your pocket and put money on our plate? That's all you need. That is the common gospel taught in most churches, boys and girls. And that is exactly the sort of thinking and action that the Pharisees were guilty of. They set aside God's law and they introduced their own rule. So what the Savior says about the Pharisees, he's saying about the churches and the church leaders of today. Now, I have to tell you that there's a lot of people who say, oh, you shouldn't, when you're preaching, you shouldn't criticize other churches and the leaders of other churches. You shouldn't do that. Well then, what I better do now is tear out this chapter in Matthew's Gospel. I better tear it out. Because the Lord Jesus is here criticizing, condemning the Pharisees. This business of not criticizing men who are religious leaders when they teach something that is different from the Bible. That notion, it comes from the same source as all the other notions that are contrary to the Scriptures. It belongs to the same crowd as does this notion that the Pharisees had introduced, that you should go through this elaborate washing process before everybody. A whole religious ceremony before you eat bread, and you can set aside the law of God whenever you wish. The idea that we shouldn't criticize false teaching amongst religious leaders, it belongs in that crowd. It's of the same type of thinking as that which the Pharisees were guilty of. Look at the next chapter, chapter 16 of Matthew. The Savior says, verse 6, then Jesus said unto them, always find out who are them. Who are they? Well, the verse before it tells us it's the disciples. So, in actual fact, the Savior saying to you, because what he said to his disciples, he says to us, who say we are disciples. So he's saying to you, verse 6, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Beware. Stay away from it. Have nothing to do with it. This leaven of the Pharisees. Now, as is often the case, the poor old disciples got it upside down and back to front. When they heard the Savior say these words, they, it says in verse 7, reasoned amongst themselves. They said, what does he mean, do you think? Saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Oh, that's what he's talking about. Which doesn't really make any sense. They'd forgotten to bring bread with them or food with them. A sandwich to eat later on in the day. And they think, oh, that's what the Lord's speaking about. Now, that doesn't fit at all. And so many of men's interpretations of the Scriptures are very, very far removed from what it is the Lord is saying. We have a saying down this part of the world, it's not within a bagel's gowl. Do you know what that means, by the way? Any of you? No? Well, I better explain it before going any further. What's a bagel? You say that's one of those nice round bunny things that you butter and toast it. No, it's not. It's our way of pronouncing the word beagle. You know what a beagle is? It's a dog. A hunting dog. And as a hunting dog, how did I get onto this subject? It's a hunting dog that when it gets on the scent of a hare or a rabbit or whatever it is it's chasing, it begins to growl. It lets out this great bellow. I'm not going to give you a demonstration. A low could ask Joe up here and he could give you a demonstration, I'm sure. But it's this great growl, and it's a signal, I'm on the scent! And all the other dogs that maybe haven't yet picked up the scent, they will get over to where this particular hound is and they'll get on the scent as well. Well now, a bagel or a beagle's growl can be heard quite a distance away. So then we say it's not within a bagel's growl. It means that it's not close, not near at hand. And when I say that the interpretation by the disciples of what it was the Lord Jesus meant was not within a bagel's growl, I'm saying it doesn't even come close to what the Savior was saying and what the Savior was meaning. Further down, the chapter 16, we read verse 12, because the Savior has rebuked them for their stupidity. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. That's what he said. That's what he said. Beware of taking in anything that these men teach, for it will corrupt you. Like a poison that gets into your system, it will begin to corrupt you and do harm. So don't listen to them. Have nothing to do with them. Boys and girls, that's pretty strong language. When God saved me, that was one of the first things I learned. Not to listen to the theology and the teaching of modern preachers. Down the road from here, some of you pass it on the way to school, there's a little Methodist church called Tuckerdoo. And I was saved about 5 months, exactly 5 months. And I was attending a funeral, and there were those who were at the funeral who knew that I had been saved now some 5 months. I was a reasonably new Christian. And the former leader, he had been the president of the Methodist Church a year or two before, he was there. I had heard Dr. Paisley speak about this man and the wrongdoings that he was guilty of and the wrong teaching that he was guilty of. And he was there, and somebody said, Dr. Plunkett, this young man has just got saved. And I can see him yet coming along. Isn't that wonderful? And he had his hand out. Now all I could do as I stood there was think of Dr. Paisley said this man was wrong, this man was misleading people, and he is to a large degree an enemy of the gospel. And I put my hand behind my back and I said, sir, I cannot shake your hand, you're an apostate. Which theologically may not just have been exactly accurate, but putting my hands behind my back were right. Oh, he was mad as a hopper. The nice smiling face disappeared, and the sun went in behind the cloud, and there was a thunder cloud appeared on his face. He didn't like me saying that, but I'm glad of the instruction I received that I was not to partake of the leaven of the Pharisee. That's what the Savior's teaching here, boys and girls. We're to stay away from that which is wrong and false. We're not to believe it. We're not to give any honor to it. And I never have. Because my heart was so impressed in those early days, just after I was saved by the grace of God and the power of God as the word was preached by Dr. Paisley and others. And it left a mark on my heart, and it's still there. I cannot bear to hear the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes pontificating. And I will not submit to what it is they teach, but I'll protest against it, as did the Savior here. We're not to touch it. That is, we're not to touch what it says. Take heed and beware. Beware. Look at it. Take note of it. And then stay away from it. It's dangerous. You have seen signs. Beware. Danger. If you're ever across fields and a farmer has put up an electric fence to keep his cattle in, the chances are somewhere along that fence he'll have a sign up. Beware! Electric fence. And little boys and girls who just don't believe the sign, they're inclined to try just to see if it's right. test it. Have you ever done that? No? Well, don't. Because I'm telling you, it will shake you up. Now, the Savior is saying the same about the doctrine that these men teach, whereby they set aside God's word and they tell you what they believe and what they think you should do. Oh, boys and girls, we must live by the Bible. What does the Bible say to you this morning? You must be born again. You must be born again. You can't get to heaven without being converted. The Lord help you today to take heed to that and call upon the Lord Jesus for salvation. We're going to close. Have a word of prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, we have sort of strayed from our subject at times today. But Lord, we have sought in all things to press home to the boys and the girls the need to reject what men say and hear and believe and accept and obey what God says. Bless the children. Bless the children. Oh, bless Molly, even as she's in her exam at this moment. Be near to her. Help her, we ask. Remember all the affairs of our school. Undertake for them, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.